If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening I'm excited as usual because I'm going to be speaking about a topic of extreme interest to all of us, and that's the now generation in the age of the supernatural. And I'm going to be looking at some of the unusual people and young people that are increasingly coming into our world that are part of the dimensional and planetary shift that we are currently in. This is an exciting time. It calls for new approaches, new inventors, and new energies to come on the scene to help us to rethink and to reorchestrate our lives in terms of the new energies coming in. The Aquarian Age is the age of energy. It's also been called the age of the Holy Spirit, the age of the Shekinah or Shekinah. It is the age in which we are in an inventing revelatory period, in which discoveries are being made at every level that cause us to think differently about ourselves, our world, our universe, God, life, and the meaning behind it all. We're having a lot of help now in the form of divine and very different incarnations that are coming on the planet. And the first ones I want to look at tonight are what I would call the space kids. Not the spaced out kids necessarily, but the space kids. These are ambassadors and galactic diplomats, scientists, members of the various galactic councils of light, divine beings from the higher realms that have learned to govern their planetary worlds in peace and goodwill, probably in many cases thousands of years ago. So they come in with a new approach to how we can live on our world in a way that works for all, so there are no losers, but there is a win-win answer to the current dilemmas that face our planetary existence. So these would be the galactic statesmen and women that come in. And it's interesting because I've been present for the blessing of several of these children, and you can see a certain energy with them even from the time they're babies. They have that mark of authority. They have that mark of presence and self-governance that's in evidence even when they're very, very young, even a toddler, even younger than a toddler. You'll see a certain presence and authority with these children. There are two that have hit our attention lately. One is Boriska, a boy that comes most recently from Mars, and he's living over in Russia. And he is, I think, now about 9 or 10 years of age. And he came in fully aware and awake and had intact his memories from his previous world. And at one point when he was about 7, he was out on a camping trip with his family and, I guess, his schoolmates. And he called them all to attention and drew them around the campfire and he said, "I want to tell you something about the world that I come from, Mars." And some of the people were kind of off in pods talking at, you know, chit-chatting. And he said, "You must sit silently and pay attention, otherwise you will not hear the story from Mars." Whereupon, they all, you know, sat and gave him attention. And he told them things that just stunned them and knocked their socks off, because he spoke about the galactic wars that had rendered the surface of the planets in our solar system barren, had caused most life waves on the surface of those various planets to go underground. And the way life was during that time when, I guess, Mars and Venus and the other planets were in very much, if not worse, condition than we are today on Earth. Hard to believe, but they really were. And so his story is very interesting. He speaks of our moving into the fifth dimension. He speaks about the planetary changes that we're currently going through and things of this nature. The second one is Karim, who I believe is from Spain, and he's a Syrian. About now he's around 15 years of age, but when he gave his information at the time in 2004, he was 11. And here are some of the things that he has to say. He says that Earth, and he's speaking in 2004, had already started to enter into the fourth dimension. And because of that, we wouldn't be going through any destruction of Earth. He said, however, in the third dimension, we may go through some destruction. Again, he's making a very different comparison between vibratory versions of the Earth, as I have also in most of my talks and articles. I make a distinct difference between life in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions. And that many of us have already moved into those higher dimensions because they're not based on time so much as they are consciousness. You move into a level of consciousness, and that moves you automatically into the operative experience of that level, regardless of what happens at the lower levels, which you won't experience. So anyway, he reinforces that and says that everyone on Earth today will experience the fourth dimension. But those that experience the fifth dimension, that's our entrance into the fifth dimension, he said, is predicated upon people's decisions, how they choose to live and govern their lives on Earth. And that there had been a delay, I think probably because we chose to go into war again when already we were past that as a viable option of choice. But be that as it may, we entered into war, and I think personally that's what he's referring to when he says that we have digressed and put a delay somewhat in our entrance into the fifth dimension. As I've often said, only the loving will go with us, only the open heart, only goodwill to all mankind will enter into that fifth-dimensional Earth, and everything else has to go to another place to work out negative patternings. He said that the climate changes right now are due to the need for our Earth to adapt to a new kind of sun, not only our Earth, but our whole solar system, to adapt to the new kind of sun. Many of you know we are moving ultimately into a binary sun system, and so increasingly we will be having the effects of this secondary sun. The Syrian children coming in now, there's a few on the Earth, he said, and many, many more that will be coming increasingly as the time progresses. And of course, this was him speaking 4 years ago, so presumably we are in the time when many, many Syrian children are coming in. He said there's two kinds of Syrians. We, of course, know Sirius A and Sirius B, but he calls them land Syrians, which would be A, and B, or water Syrians, which, of course, we know as the dolphins and the whales. And we also know that dolphins and whales are not marine mammals so much as they are human souls or humanoid souls or universal man, let's say, that has adopted that particular embodiment so that they are free of the technologies that get so many of us waylaid and distracted in the material world. So they have chosen to work in the crystalline membrane of the seas. I want to continue with the space children, then I'll get into these dolphins and whales because they're very, very interesting children. So these children come in with a variety of abilities that you may see represented by some of the other types that I'm going to be enumerating. But to continue with what Karim from Sirius has to say, he said that there are approximately 2,000 Syrian ships that are guarding the Earth this time, and that they have been deflecting the asteroids, have been protecting us from massive Earth events and massive as much as they can. They can't prevent everything, but he said they will try to minimize the effects of, like, Earth changes and earthquakes and things of that nature. And he says they do that all the time. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't had an asteroid impact and the various things that could have gone wrong and that haven't. The Syrian children, he said, have a different body inside. Even though they look humanoid on the outside, they have a whole different composition inside. He said when Earth eventually moves into the sixth dimension, it will be divided into a land Earth and an oceanic Earth, just like Sirius. Sirius, remember, is like the monad to the Earth, even as Venus is like the soul to the Earth. So we are going to be like our monad, which would be the I Am Presence or the spirit of Earth. So naturally, we are going to be like the Sirius system, ultimately and eventually. He said also that the Syrians are disrupting now the communication link between the bad, as he calls them, Anunnaki, these are the fallen ones, or the Nephilim, and the secret governments, which are the on-planet agents of these, quote-quote, bad Anunnaki. And so that is being disrupted. So you see again, things are being handled, things are in order, everything is progressing as it needs to at this time. So then you have the dolphins and the whales. Now, the dolphin children I have met, not only do they have very large, bulging frontal lobes in their foreheads, that's one of their characteristics, they'll have those deep, round, beautiful, soulful eyes, very much like dolphins. They're very loving, they're playful, they're extremely sensitive and kind. They cannot stand to see any kind of injury to any living thing. And they will just cry piteously if you try to deal with them or anyone else in an unkind or harsh manner. Never spank these children. Never shout at them. They will just absolutely crumble. They cannot understand unloving action at all. They're very just. And they're always there for the underdog. They're always the protector. Now, the whale children are also very interesting. They have a sense of depth and wisdom that is riveting. They are quiet. They are deep. They're solid. They have this tremendous presence of ancientness about them. Even little children have this ancient wisdom that you just sense from them. They also tend to be very large in body mass. So don't be too harsh on your children if their natural body tends to be large in mass. If it's not genetic in your family and they're not overeating, it could be because they are a whale. Understand? Very often, a lot of encodements of light demand a certain amount of body mass to carry those encodements. That's why very often you will find in spiritual teachers or yogis that carry a lot of power, a lot of shakti. They will tend to be slightly overweight or sometimes, in some cases, considerably overweight. Like, for example, Bhagavan Nityananda. He was quite bulky, and we, of course, know him as the great Siddha. So anyway, not too quick to judge how people are showing up today. There is no standard that these new kids fit into at all. We, at best, can observe them, learn from them, respect and honor them, and allow them to bring their gifts to the table, because truly, they are the planetary saviors at this time. Now, you have another really interesting group of kids. These are elemental and devic beings that have never incarnated, in many cases, into a human form. They are characteristic because they really are quite clueless how to operate down here. They don't have an ego, which means they don't have a sense of separate identity. They have a sense of group consciousness. They really relate to teamwork, group work, being part of a creative enterprise, they tend to identify with their creative expression. You can find them in the ballet companies. You can find them in the performing and acting arts. They have a wonderful ability to be able to morph into almost anything. You often find them in the circus. Sometimes they're not very good at making their bodies, so their body may not look exactly normal. Sometimes children that are mongoloid or are in some way handicapped, sometimes these are the devic and elemental souls trying to make a human body for the first time, and they're not doing too well with it. Sometimes you'll have the stillborn, the children that come in and then quickly leave, or you might have a spontaneous abortion where the child, you're carrying a child, and then all of a sudden, for no reason, you lose the child. So sometimes they're timid at coming into this dimension and not experienced with it. And you get that sense when you're around these people. I have many friends of this nature. They have about the opposite vibration of your space commander kind of person. A deva is ephemeral, etheric, creative, emotive, sensitive. They feel things, but they don't have much of a mental definition. The mental body comes in, particularly the lower mental or the ego mind, as I often call it, comes in with a human being, but is absent in your devic and elemental groups. So these people come, and they could come from any planet, any elemental realm of any world or dimension or interdimensional world, but usually we call that the kingdom of Pan. And these are the fairies, the sprites, the undines, the mer-beings, the hobbits, the earth spirits, and sometimes beings that come from the inner earth itself, because the Agartian community has almost 300 interterrene cities. And you have everything from giants to midgets to, you know, the Lilliputians, the little people. So very often you'll find midgets and dwarfs and giants in this grouping of souls that I'm looking at right now. So how to work with them? Allow them to be creative. Allow them to be involved in all kinds of projects that involve other people. Don't expect them to be self-initiating in their actions, and don't expect them to tell you what they want to do with their life. They don't know. All they know is that they want to be engaged in making something, creating something. So watch your kids. See what their nature is. Let them dictate to you how they want to express themselves. Don't try to put them into a mold or preach to them they have to be a certain way or anything like that. Try to take an approach where you make available to these children all sorts of choices, and you reinforce their interests. If they're showing an interest to music, expose them to all sorts of instruments. If it's art, give them art material. Whatever it is, let them have access to creative expression, and you will be so rewarded with very, very happy and better balanced children. And then you have the psychic kids. This has often been called the X generation. In fact, I think the Hollywood made a movie called X-Men. And, of course, we have Harry Potter, those very interesting books and films. And these are the children that come in with supernatural natural psychic abilities. Some that are most interesting have X-ray vision. These kids can actually look through a solid, a wall, a steel wall. Some of them are medical clairvoyants. They can look into the human body as if it were, their eyes were X-rays. They have telekinesis, teleportation skills. They can affect matter with the power of their mind. Of course, we're all familiar with the wonderful Israeli man, Uri Geller. He certainly would be an X-Man. We have Chris Angel, who's so, so interesting, and he would certainly be an example. But there are many, many, and they say there are a lot of them in China and different parts of the world. And they have two kinds of expression. They have the psychic kids that are very, very ego-driven, where they abuse their power. They can start fires with a glance, just like in the movie The X-Men. They can look at something and destroy it with their mind. They can cause accidents to happen, you know. I mean, they can really abuse and misuse this power because it's random energy. And it, you know, poltergeist activity sometimes comes around these kids when they're in their teens especially. So there's a lot of stuff that can go on. And then the more positive ones are the children that will go into some form of healing or service to humanity in some way. These are the sensitives, the empaths, the ecologists, the clairsentients, the planetary stewards. It can take all sorts of different expressions. But basically, these are the children that can see beyond the normal range, hear beyond the normal range, sense beyond the normal range, and whatever normal is, and experience life and see through life beyond the veil of the material that blocks most people's perception. So these children may, when they're young, have a difficult time discerning who they are and where they are because all of the dimensions tend to bleed through into their experience. They often are prone to nightmares or seeing spirits like the little boy in The Sixth Sense, the movie. They can see, you know, energy forms and goblins and you know, all sorts of supernatural forms from the other dimensions that they can't decide or discern whether they're physical or non-physical, because for these kids, it's all one great big multi-dimensional pot. So again, be very sensitive to your children and help them to discern how to operate in the material world. They may not know. They may be similar to the dolphin, the elemental and Davic children in a sense. They may not have a clear sense of how to operate with their gifts or how to be comfortable with their gifts, how to set boundaries with their gifts, and how to turn off that sensitivity. This is training. You're going to have to do a little bit of study and learn how to guide and train these children so they just aren't psychic sponges for everything that comes along, which can be overwhelming for anyone. So with some of these wonderful children, you'll have the new financiers, the new business executives, the new entrepreneurs, the new politicians who actually are committed to service. Hello. Yeah. They will be here to serve people. They will be true leaders and true humanitarians. And so we have those wonderful children coming on the planet. Then you have the visionaries. I think many of you are familiar with the visionaries of Fatima and Medjugorje, the Marian visionaries that saw Mother Mary appear, primarily in the countries that are very Catholic in their orientation. You will find visionaries that see Mother Mary or angels or some other of the more Christian figures appear to them and give them messages. And they would be, again, messenger spirits, clairvoyant seers. Then you have a very unusual group that I've never heard anyone else speak about. I may be the first person to speak about them on a show of this type. And these I call the young charismatics. These are souls that come in with a tremendous consecration to Christ, to Jesus. And they have a great desire to save souls. And they're ardent in preaching the gospel of grace. And they act as intercessors, standing in the gap between souls that are lost and their deliverance into freedom. And their answer, of course, is through the cross and through Jesus Christ. They come armed with gifts of prophecy, preaching, teaching. They often work in miracles, signs, and wonders. They often go into healing ministries, Many of them have the power to resurrect the dead, cast out demonic spirits. They have tremendous visions and experiences. And the word charis, from which the word charismatic comes, means the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so they operate in these gifts. Some of them get gripped with a spirit of intercession, and they'll pray, and they'll travail, and they'll cry, not for themselves, but for humanity. They will pray for the restoration of America, for example, back to the original Righteous Living 101, if you will. They have a tremendous burden on their heart that humanity awaken and return to God. There is a wonderful book. It's one of my favorites. It's called Visions Beyond the Veil. It's by H.A. Baker. And this is the grandfather of Roland Baker, who's married to Heidi Baker. And Roland and Heidi are missionaries to Mozambique and have a tremendous ministry with the homeless, orphaned children in Mozambique, and have for many, many years. They're tremendous people. Anyway, Roland's grandfather started an orphanage called Abdulam, which was a rescue mission in the Yunnan province of China. This is some years ago, quite a few years ago. And they picked up a lot of street urchins and children that were orphaned and living on the streets and begging and, you know, barely surviving, and they brought them into this mission. But what was so interesting was that these children experienced an immense and incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was so great they literally experienced heaven through visions. They were aware of presence of angels. They were able to describe in great detail what they saw. One 11-year-old boy had Jesus appear before him and dictated to him word by word an entire message for humanity and for these times that we're living in. So their experiences were so intense in fervent passion for worship, the Word of God, prayer. These are your charismatics. But what was so interesting was that there was no natural explanation of how these children had these gifts. They seemed to be touched directly by God because they had never, ever been exposed to the Bible or Jesus or the Gospel or anything having to do with any of this kind of thinking. It couldn't have been the working of their subconscious mind because they were too young, too ignorant, too recently rescued from their own backgrounds, which were totally devoid of any understanding of God. They had no knowledge of the Bible or any teachings. It couldn't be explained by psychology or mental suggestions of others. They didn't learn these things from one another because they were all strangers when they were brought to the community. And what was so interesting was that although the children had their own individual visions, they were all absolutely, completely in agreement and harmony as to the exact details of what they saw. And many of them were taken into heaven itself and shown heaven, and some of them were even taken into the hell worlds where souls have chosen to go into darkness for one reason or another, or are entrapped in darkness for some reason or another. It was an amazing phenomena. So these are the charismatics. But that was then, and now you have the same thing. You have many, many of these children throughout the world. I see them all the time. There's many teenagers that are the charismatics now. And they're just on fire. They're on fire for God. And the spirit of prophecy is pouring through them. One of my favorite ones is Kim Clement, who is a outrageous young man who had his awakening when he was dying of a stab wound and a severe overdose of drugs in a gutter. And God, you know, Jesus appeared to him and healed him and gave him a very, very powerful prophetic ministry, which he, you know, he travels around. You can probably see him at some point and hear him speak. He plays crazy music. He just really gets into this music. And as he's tuning in and channeling this music, the spirit of prophecy comes, and he's real, real accurate. And he has a message for the people on the street, the kids that would never, ever go to a church or have anything to do with any of that. And he wears, you know, jeans, and he's got long, dark curls, and he's quite a striking figure. Anyway, watch out for Kim Clement. He's quite an amazing prophet, and I think very representative of these young charismatics. So, you have then another interesting group called the Avatars. Now, Sai Baba has said there will be at least 25 Avatars like himself. Already there are several in India. There's Balasai, and I don't remember all the other names, but I know Balasai. Bala means child in Sanskrit. And so Balasai has been materializing Vibhuti, which is the ash that Sai Baba materializes all the time, and doing some of the other manifestations that are very familiar to people who've been around Sai Baba. So these young avatars, again, an avatar means a divine being who has taken incarnation. They don't have to be born, but they come down from a higher world or state of consciousness, and they embody some divine quality. And in the case of Sai Baba, you have the embodiment of truth, the embodiment of divine love. So the avatars can really embody almost anything. It just depends on what their function is. Now, if there's going to be 25, like Sai Baba, these would be what we would call Anga or limb or tributary avatars that would be manifestations of his potency, but step down through tributaries of expression. So it will be interesting to see how they outpicture. Then you have the yogis. These are children who are reincarnated probably for the first time in the outer world sense. Many of them were in the Himalayas or in the caves or ashrams in previous times. They might be Vedic sages reincarnated. They might be some of the very, very great souls who have passed over and taken embodiment again just because of the love of God within them. They often, by nature, adopt yogic positions when they're very young. I've seen many of these children, and they will sit in the Padmasana, you know, with their little tailor fashion, with their little legs cupped up under them, and their hands in Chin Mudra, you know, with the forefingers and the thumbs joined. They often will go into deep meditative trances, and they're very still and centered and composed and quiet and wise. Again, you see this ancient persona in this child. My granddaughter is very much like that. She used to love to sit in meditation, and where even when she was a tiny little premature baby in the isolette in the hospital, we put a picture of Sai Baba in her crib. And I swear, her little head would turn wherever that picture was, and she would focus her eyes on Sai Baba. And it's quite amazing. And she would crawl up to the altar as soon as she was able to crawl and sit and sing bhajans, Sanskrit bhajans, that she seemed to just be able to say and pronounce from the youngest age. So she would be an example of a yogi, a reincarnated yogi. Then you have on BBS here, our station here, you have a link for Akiani, who is a beautiful indigo child who has had visions of Jesus Christ from the time she was about 5 and has painted him like a master. All kinds of art pour through this child of a quality so exquisite, so meticulous, so profound and moving, that her paintings sell for thousands of dollars now. And she's a young girl. I think she's 12, 13, 14 years old now. So she's a good example of an indigo. With your indigo children, whom Lee Carroll has written a lot about, and of course you had the movie, The Indigo, you have several different distinct types of indigos. One of my grandchildren is an indigo. And she's an artist and a psychologist. Mixed, because you can sometimes have the qualities mixed. You have the psychologists, you have the scientists, you have the artists, you have the mystics and the psychics. And these indigo children often just don't have a clue about what they want to do with their lives, and it's difficult to motivate them until they find that thing that they really were meant to be and do, and then they really get into it. So if you have a child that looks like they just don't fit anywhere and they really tend to go into depression and have almost a sense of desperation to find meaning in their lives, have compassion for these kids and counsel with them and help them to understand their natures. You who have these children, if you are not familiar with the things I'm speaking about, by all means begin to get as much information and background as you can. Lee Carroll has a couple wonderful books on the indigos, and I think there's also books on the crystal and rainbow children. I recently was with a young crystal, and this girl, they're well named the crystals, because not only did she have a tremendous sensitivity, she was like a human crystal. She could tune in to people and see through them absolutely as if they were transparent. She could pierce right to their essence, right to the meaning behind their words, right to the intentions of their heart. And then you have the rainbow children, which are supposedly a combination of a synthesis of all of the different rays and colorations and expressions that you would find common to the rainbow. These would be children that I would think would be very, very natural ambassadors of unification and harmony and global synthesis, and definitely a power for synthesis in whatever field they would go into. Then you have the former shamans. Now, these children often are the ones that you have to look out that they might get into drugs again, because many of the shamanic practices involve some form of hallucinogenic ingestion. And so these are the kids you got to watch, because we know that drugs only get you into the lower astral plane, and they are not an answer, they're not a solution, and they're not a spiritual path. Moreover, today, with the designer drugs, you have lethal concoctions that kill many of these kids. So definitely drug usage is something to really inform your children about and let them know the ramifications and the effects and warn them. Because in my point of view, there are no good parties that kids go to nowadays. You know, they're strictly for taking drugs and other things that children have no business being involved with at that age. And here's where you need to set for some of these children very strong guidelines when they're very, very, very young, so that they're taught from the time that they start to be able to move out of their cradle. You start training them in how to manage their power, how to flow in the propriety of an earth embodiment, the sacredness of having a human embodiment, the purpose of a human embodiment, and you teach them the proper use of their sexuality, their power, their mind, their creative expression. Really, I think probably raising a master soul is one of the greatest challenges. Even though they're so wise on one level, they still are in a human body with a lower self and a lower mind, and an emotional body, and very often baggage from previous lifetimes, which could be on another planet for all you know. Also, I find with many of these children, some of them are very challenged with sexual and gender definition. Not all planetary systems, believe it or not, have the same kind of values and mores and sexual expression as Earth. Many of the star-seeded souls do not have the necessity to choose a gender. So you get down here, and you have to be either a man or a woman, unless you're fortunate enough to be born in a Native American culture where you could be a third sex, which is considered gifted, or in other parts of the world, in Asia and elsewhere, where there's no stigma to being part man and part woman, or part woman and part man. So you have a lot of these challenges around sexual expression and self-definition with some of these children who have come from other worlds and dimensions that have different ways of being and doing. So again, inform yourselves, be attentive to your children, have compassion on yourself if I'm describing you. There's nothing like gaining awareness and joining with others that are of a similar nature so that you can learn from one another. Then you have the Golden Age Forerunners. These are the inventors, the energy scientists, the energy healers, the designers of new earth-friendly systems, all of that. And they're coming in with very, very different ways of doing things. So in working and training these children, I cannot tell you how important your attitude is towards your children. I really, really encourage all of you parents to learn the power of blessing and affirmation. Have faith in your children. I hear people all the time speaking actual word curses over their kids. And that sounds like a harsh term, but think about it. People generally will rise up to the level that you hold them to. If you see them as a person who is worthless and is never going to make much of their lives or is bound to be just like their you know, alcoholic parent or their drug-taking parent or their prostitute parent or whatever, and you make that constantly a thought form over them, guess what? They're going to fall right into that mold. So it's very important to speak and bless positive affirmation and positive reinforcement over your children. Have faith in them. Have faith in the God that lives within them. Have faith in them as souls. Have faith in their wisdom through many lifetimes to catch what is going to work for them. Be directive rather than tyrannical in your guidance of these kids. Very, very few of these advanced children take correction very well. Most of them are very autocratic. Most of them are very, they will fight you if you're heavy-handed with them. And that love in us will turn to hatred and rebellion. So don't vex the spirits of your children. Say things like, I trust you, you're trustworthy, I believe in you. You can do anything you put your mind to. I have faith in you. You're a gift of God. You are blessed. You're designed to serve a great purpose. I can hardly wait to see how God is going to use you in this life. Wow, you're a special child. See these children as you would have them be. I was told by the Master Jesus when I was having a really difficult time with my daughter. He said, I want you to envision her as an ascended master. See her radiant and glowing with joy, happiness. See her empowered and centered in her divine spirit. See her doing wonderful things with her life. See her doing, being prospered and blessed and really stepping forward she's here to be a humanitarian. See her really stepping forward in her ministry of service to humanity. So, and of course, I'd never even thought of doing that. You know, it's like every other mother worrying about her, you know, praying in the negative, oh God, don't let her, you know, do this, don't let her do that. And instead, I was sending the thought forms of reinforcing her weaknesses. So point up the excellence in your children. In fact, a really good technique for these kids is non-rewarding of negative behavior. What that looks like is when they go into a real negative state, withdraw attention, because most children act out to get attention. Withdraw attention. I remember my daughter used to love to pull tantrums. She'd lie down in the middle of anywhere and just scream and kick her legs and carry on, and you know, I'd try off pretending she wasn't mine, right? Only problem was she looked just like me. But I came upon this suggestion that when your children are having a tantrum, either get down on the floor if you can, not in the middle of a shopping mall like she usually picked, but if it's at home, lie down on the floor next to them and begin to kick and scream and yell and carry on. If you're in a group of people, this is really effective. They probably will never throw another tantrum if you lie down and do that in front of people who know you really well. Just have a good old tantrum. It will embarrass the child so much that they probably will never use that ploy again. And the other thing is just to walk off and ignore them. That, again, is very embarrassing, to not have anyone participating in your tantrum. Learn to be silent when children are, have some compassion. Because, you know, when you're really pissed off and angry and gnarly, the last thing you want is somebody telling you what you should or need to do. Allow a buffer where that person can come back into balance and preserve their dignity. We all have a sense of dignity. Even an animal does. Everybody does. So be respectful and honor your child. And when you see them begin to lose control, instead of criticizing them for it, help give them reference points for coming back into balance as quickly as possible. I think time out is a very good form of discipline. If it's not punitive, you know, it's not to where the child hates to go to their room because it represents a punishment, maybe just a place where they could go. That's their time out spot, not necessarily their room, although it could be their room. It could be a chair. But find creative and unique ways to redirect your children so that they can have a quality of life that works for them. Point out what works and what doesn't. That's the best thing. Point out cause and effect. Okay, say for example you're watching a movie or a sitcom or a drama or something with your children. I loved my husband for this. He was always doing this with our daughter. He would point out the effects of people's choices so that whenever, no matter what we were watching on TV, he would say, you see, she's made this choice. Now, the result of that is that she's going to have to go before the court and she's going to have to pay some time. She's going to either have to pay a fine or she's going to have to go to jail or prison. And that's because she broke the law, and this was the law she broke. So that my children were trained in daily activities the right way to govern themselves, so they stayed out of jail, they stayed out of trouble, they obeyed the laws of health, the laws of the society in which they're living, and their lives are working for them. These children demand participation and responsibility at very young ages. You may be surprised that your 2-year-old wants to bake in the oven, in the kitchen with you when you're cooking, or wants to help you fix the car when you're out there under it doing some mechanical work. So try to find ways to engage your children in your activities as quickly as possible, because they have tremendous energies and they need constantly to have direction for those energies so that they don't go cattywampus. The other thing is that sometimes these children, particularly if they come from a nonverbal civilization where they are telepathic, may either not be able to speak, or they may be very challenged in speaking. They may have some form of speech impediment sometimes, or they may have difficulty putting their thoughts and their communication together so it makes sense. They may be challenged in timeline tracking. They may come from a different timeline and time referencing phase. Oh, there's so many anomalies and unusual situations with these children. The worst thing you can do is drug them. I really strongly suggest that you find health substances and homeopathic preparations and herbal preparations rather than giving them Ritalin and all kinds of drugs that are going to upset their already very, very delicate hormonal and endocrine systems. The children come in sometimes very, very highly sexed. You may have to explain sexuality to them much, much before puberty. There are just many variations, and precocious tends to be the rule of thumb with these kids. They are precocious in the questions they will ask you. I find the best policy is to be absolutely transparent and live your life completely honestly and transparently before them. Don't try to fool them. They can see right through you. Don't say one thing with your mouth and think another in your heart and mind. They can see right through it. Don't tell them there is something like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and then expect them to believe you when you start talking about the interdimensional realms and God. Be honest with your children. Be absolutely honest. And in your own life, don't expect yourself to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. If you hold that perfection up all the time, you'll have, again, very frustrated children because they're going to want to be perfect. They are going to have come from worlds that are so perfect compared to Earth that we look like we're back in the Dark Ages. Bear in mind, this planet is not very evolved. It is considered very hostile and dangerous to our neighbors from other worlds. We're not considered a very advanced race of people for all of our ego and arrogance. So we can't even get along between the races right now. So, hello. And that's another thing. These children come in, and advanced souls never have prejudice. They come in completely out of that mindset of competition and separation, and I'm better than you, or my life is better than your life, or my culture is better than your culture. No. They come with a sense of universal love and goodwill towards all races, creeds, religions, cultures, differences. They're just very, very much characterized by that sense of universal goodwill. So they are the forerunners. They are the way showers. And that is the way that we are going to be moving into the fifth dimension. So let's follow these wonderful children. Let's live lives that encourage them to be the best they can be. But also, let's encourage them to laugh and be joyful and to live in grace. Because this is the age of grace. This is the age of divine restoration of God's kingdom on earth, even as it is in the throne worlds of the celestial realms. And that's what our children are here to lead us into. And I came into this life as a space kid myself. So I can really relate to what many of these children go through. Many of them are natural vegetarians. Maybe many of them are natural meditators. They come in with a lot of gifts. So again, have fun with your kids. Have fun with yourself. Have fun with those in your family grouping that are a little bit different. And let's see if we can let a little child lead us into the garden of light and grace. And again, we in the Ashtar Command send our love and our blessings to all of you star seedlings, all of you wonderful young people of all ages, because we've always had advanced souls coming into the planet, but especially since the early 1980s. It's said that from 1984 onward, all of the children that have been born on Earth really and truly are of the golden age. And they are different. They march to a different drummer. So, again, we send you our love and our blessings. And if we can be of service to you in any way, look us up on the web, and we will be very, very glad to serve you. We'll go out with, let's chant Yeshua tonight. This is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Yeah.